Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, what is going on? Welcome to a new episode of the Snatch Bag. This is your host, Arden Sports Talk here. Hope all is well with you. I'm coming to you live, of course, from the Forest Side here in Westchester County. I just had a very good workout at the gym, so I'm feeling pretty good. You know, got some shots I worked on the handle. I'm in that ball is life mode. You know how that can be if you're a ball player yourself. It's a very beautiful thing. But I'm back here with you because, of course, we have to talk about the NBA Finals. That's right, the NBA Finals. It's still going on. It's still alive. You're probably surprised. How is it still going on? Because there's a certain guy named LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith and Coach Lou doing what they're supposed to do. Oh, my God, that rhymed. And they somehow came back from a 3-1 deficit to force a Game 7, which is this Sunday, of course, at Golden State Arena, the Oracle, on Father's Day. So in advance, let me say happy Father's Day to you, if you're a father, to your father, your grandfather, or whoever is in your life that plays that father role. Now, as we talk about Game 6, let me start off by saying I thought Draymond Green was supposed to be an impact player. Don't act dumb with me. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Draymond Green was supposed to be the guy who was supposed to stop LeBron from dropping 41 on Golden State's head again. Instead, Draymond Green was the guy who had 8 points, 5 personal fouls, a minus 12 on the plus-minus scale, and went 3-for-7 in 41 minutes of play. That's the guy we're talking about here. And LeBron James, that LeBron James guy, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, the guy from St. Vincent, St. Mary High School, four-time MVP, two-time champion, one of the greatest players ever played. You know, that guy, yeah. 41 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks on 16 for 27 shooting, 3 for 6 from 3, and a plus 26. They said LeBron James is the first player in the NBA Finals history to post that type of stat line, the 41, 11, 8, 4, and 3. Let me tell you guys something that want to believe that, of course, the NBA is rigged, that want to believe this is a LeBron issue or a league issue. Let me tell you something. What are you believing is a lie? It's a false narrative that you need to say and do in order to make yourself feel better. And if that's what you want to do, then, hey, God bless you. God bless you because, hey, you got to live a lie in order to make yourself feel better. But just know this. If Golden State is looking for anybody to blame for their current situation, if Golden State is looking to point fingers at somebody, if they somehow lose on Sunday night, just know it starts with Draymond Green. That's right, I said it. It has to. Draymond Green, ladies and gentlemen, is responsible for Golden State having to play a Game 7 when this series should have been over, bro. It should have been over on Monday, except some of you guys out there want to excuse his behavior because what? Because of the person he was interacting with? Because it was LeBron? Let me tell you guys something when it comes to that. Plenty of players have been stepped over in the NBA, okay? Plenty of players have been stepped over. Plenty of players have been pushed down. They've been shoved. Not all of them have responded back by throwing a nut shot, especially when their team has the game decided with less than a minute left. I think, what was Golden State up by 11? Draymond Green keeps his cool. The series is over in 5. Draymond Green doesn't keep this cool. Golden State loses Game 5. Suddenly you give Cleveland hope. Cleveland comes out. Draymond's supposed to be back. He's supposed to make an impact. Instead, they lose by 14, get controlled by Cleveland most of the game. And, oh, by the way, Bogut got hurt in game 5, and now you got a banged-up Iggy. All because of Draymond. Now, you can look at what I'm saying as ludicrous, as ridiculous, but what is your argument against that? It's called the domino effect. Suddenly, your actions is not just impacting your team because of losing games, but now your health is being impacted. Suddenly, Iggy got an iffy back and looking like Scottie Pippen in the 98 finals. Suddenly, Bogut can't play the rest of the series. Suddenly, your depth is in question among the bigs. You know it's bad for Golden State among the bigs when Anderson Varejão. Let me say it again. When Anderson Varejão is your best big coming off the bench because Azealia's not effective. Most space, trash. Outside of a couple threes he can hit. They're in trouble with the bigs. And let me also touch on Bogut. For one, I think fortunately Bogut doesn't need surgery for his injury. But Bogut is a very important part of that team. I know the stats and the record without Bogut says part of Golden State's identity. His ability to be a good pick-and-roll defender is so critical for Golden State's defense, especially for Draymond Green, because Draymond Green is more of a roamer. You know, he's a roamer. He's somebody that, could, of course, that could play multiple positions, but he thrives in that because Bogut could, again, help out with pick-and-roll in terms of trapping. He could help out with being a legitimate rim protector. When you take out Bogut and suddenly Draymond Green has to be the rim protector, Draymond can't impact the game like he used to do on defense when Bogut was in the lineup. Suddenly Draymond has to be the rim protector, which means whoever's that other big coming in is not as effective when it comes to trapping off the pick and roll. Draymond now can't roam around on the perimeter. He can't do none of that. He can't do none of that. So, again, this all goes back to Draymond Green, especially when you have a Draymond Green that's not consistent with his approach on offense. You don't know if it's going to be a game where Draymond's looking to shoot. You don't know if it's going to be a game where Draymond is looking to be a playmaker. You don't know. I saw Draymond pass up quite a few shots last night, quite a few shots. This is a problem for Golden State, and that problem goes back to Draymond Green. Now, this is not me excusing any blame from anybody else. Steph Curry needs to get criticized. He probably won't because folks love him, but Steph Curry, once again, ladies and gentlemen, in the NBA Finals, is not producing the way we know he can produce. Last year was the first example, even though I give him credit, he struggled for 2.5 games, and then he bounced back and was big time. But so far this year, let's be real, he's been disappointing. For a unanimous MVP as the best player on a 73-win team, a historical team, Steph Curry's been disappointing in his finals. More turnovers than assists. Getting outplayed. Forget all just, oh, even. Kyrie Irving is outplaying Steph Curry. And let me touch on Kyrie real quick. A lot of you guys will suddenly have to eat crow because of your criticism on Kyrie Irving. I hope he choke on it. I swear to God, I hope you choking that crow you ate, because your criticisms of Kyrie Irving were very, very unnecessary and just too much. It's not about Kyrie Irving being better than Steph Curry, because he's not. Steph is still better than Kyrie by a bit. But it's about the fact that what myself, my boy Cavs Nadian, and others have said, Kyrie Irving can play with anybody in this league, man, especially at the point guard position. Suddenly you guys realize Kyrie can hoop with these guys. Suddenly you guys want to forget that Kyrie has a long list of the point guards he's put in body bags. Well, I could literally go on for the rest of the show and talk about how many point guards Kyrie has killed in these battles. Now you guys want to realize it. Okay, bet. This is not a LeBron issue. This is not a league issue. This is a Golden State / Draymond Green issue. You would have thought this team recognized and learned from their mistakes versus Oklahoma City. Clearly, they haven't. And I think the craziest thing about this, and I think it's the scariest for Golden State, is the fact that Cleveland's playing with house money. You can say, oh, because it's a game seven, there's pressure on Cleveland. Yeah, pressure because it's a championship to win, but in terms of that other type of pressure, there is no other pressure on Cleveland. For what? They were down 3-1. I think they became the third team to come back from 3-1 in the finals and force a game seven. What's the pressure? Who's the 73-win team here? Who has home court advantage? Who has the unanimous MVP? Who's supposed to win here? Cleveland's playing with house money. They got nothing to lose. They weren't even supposed to force a game six, let alone a game seven. So what pressure is there? What pressure is there on LeBron, really? Even if LeBron wins the third ring, his finals record is still a losing record. So for the folks that love to criticize LeBron's finals record, you really don't lose much, because even if he gets another ring, he'd still be 3-4. What's really the difference? House money. Kyrie, okay, so what? Kyrie, at the end of the day, still outplays Steph Curry this entire series. It doesn't change if Steph Curry has a great game seven. Kyrie still outplayed that man when you guys didn't think that was possible. When on my timeline, you bums were saying, oh, my goodness, how can Kyrie guard Steph? How can Kyrie guard Westbrook? Kyrie's going to get eaten up. I'm not sure he can do it. Well, he's outplaying the unanimous MVP. He damn sure would have outplayed Westbrook. Kyrie body bags Westbrook. Fact, just look back at any of the previous games. Even when LeBron wasn't there, Kyrie was cooking Westbrook. Kyrie's playing with house money, folks. Don't get it twisted. House money, they're eating Golden State's food. There's nothing to lose. They got nothing to lose. Golden State is the team that has something to lose, and it's a lot of it. It's a place in history. You're either going to be in history for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. And Golden State is looking at being in the history books for the wrong damn reasons. They're about to be, you know what it is? I was about to say they're about to be like the 07 Patriots. Let me tell you something. If Golden State loses game seven, considering the season they've had, and considering the expectations that we've had for them, along with the hype and everything, I think them losing this year is much worse than the 07 Patriots losing. I would say it. I really would. And this is no overreaction. This is really worse. This would be one of the biggest upsets or one of the biggest disappointments in the season in a long time in sports history. Among, like, those great, great teams. Because this is basketball. Basketball, the unpredictability levels is incredibly low compared to football. Like, even though, of course, it's still shocking that the Giants won over the 07 Patriots, it's football. You know anything can happen in football. It's football. Upsets happen all the time, B. For real. Upsets happen in football as much as the sun rises and the sun goes down. As the moon rises, as the moon goes down. As much as it rains, as much as it snows, it's what we expect. It's football. To the point where we only really get surprised at football when it's like a blowout. In all seriousness, like if you really think about it, you know exactly what I'm saying. Like basketball, though, everything usually goes according to plan. Like it has to take something crazy for it not to go to plan. Because it's so expected. It's so predictable. Football is not like that. So that's what I'm saying. The 2015-2016 Warriors, if they somehow lose, to me, their loss is worse than the 07 Patriots. Because we all expected them to win. We all expected them just to go through. We all expected them to play at a high level. And yes, they may say, well, we had injuries, but their injuries weren't as impactful as other teams' injuries that was on a pursuit of greatness and loss. It wasn't. Steph's hurt. Nobody's saying Steph's hurt when Steph got 38 in game four versus Cleveland. Nobody was saying Steph's hurt when Steph had some throwback games versus OKC. Or when Steph's first game back, when he got like, what was it, 40 off the bench in Portland and said, I'm here, I'm back. He wasn't hurt then, dog. So let's not even use that as an excuse. You understand me? Like, you're not even using that, bro. Injuries that occurred during the series is much different than injuries that occurred before. Cleveland had that excuse last year. No Kevin Love since the first round last year. Kyrie Irving was hobbled throughout the playoffs. His body can only take so much. That is completely different. You want to talk about not being able to do something with the injuries? Kyrie couldn't do nothing with the injuries. You understand me? Let's just get that clear. But I want to touch on LeBron again real quick because everybody loves talking about his LeBron's legacy. LeBron this, LeBron that. And let me just tell you guys once again something, and I've said it before on multiple occasions, is this. All this greatest of all time stuff is so unnecessary because greatest is up for interpretation. We could say greatest player of all time, but at the same time, you know what greatest could also be used for? Greatest shooter, greatest passer, greatest rebounder, greatest defender. It's up for interpretation in terms of what you think greatest is and what makes somebody greatest. Now, this is not me disagreeing if you think, oh, Arden, are you disagreeing with the idea of Michael Jordan being the greatest of all time? No, I think Jordan is the greatest. It's just I'm not as defensive over this claim as you guys are because you Jordan is the GOAT supporters are low-key, what was the term? You guys are low-key scared and you guys are low-key afraid of the fact that others have a case and that others see other players as the greatest. And it's not just LeBron. People look at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the greatest of all time. People look at Magic Johnson as the greatest of all time. People look at Larry Bird is the greatest of all time. We have people that look at Allen Iverson as the GOAT. The list goes on and on. It's just all about what the majority thinks. It's opinion at the end of the day. It's opinion based on what we feel or with the numbers and the facts and what we feel like is the most accurate or close to it. LeBron James in his career so far has accomplished enough that some people in the crowd will go and say LeBron is the greatest they've ever seen. You can't take that away from them. If Allen Iverson could be considered a GOAT, and I love AI, don't get it twisted. I love Allen Iverson. That's my dog. But if he could get considered a GOAT by some, then LeBron definitely can. It goes back to my main point. LeBron, to me, doesn't need to be the greatest or do this and that to prove his worth because we will never, and I am willing to say, we will never see a more valuable player than LeBron James. And NBA history. Think of another player that you know of that is as valuable and as impactful to their team, to their city, as LeBron James. What you going to say, Jordan? Bro, when Jordan retired from the Bulls the first time, you know how many games the Bulls won the following year? I think they won like 55. Pippen was a legitimate MVP candidate, and they made it to, what was it, the conference finals or semifinals? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's – come on. Any of these other great players, valuable, absolutely legendary, but not as valuable as a LeBron James, not as impactful as a LeBron James. That, to me, is LeBron's legacy. LeBron's legacy, man, is really going to be – he's going to be one of the most underappreciated players in the game, and people won't recognize what they have had the opportunity to watch until he's gone. Until he's not playing no more, or hopefully decades down the line when he passes away, people are gonna be like, "Yo, this guy since high school has been a dominant figure in the league, extremely talented, never gotten in trouble off the court, but we hate on him because, oh, he has a chosen one tattoo because he did the decision." And trust me, this is coming from somebody. If you guys listen to me, or if you know me, you know I'm a longtime Cleveland fan. This marriage has been happy and going on 13-plus years. I love you, Cleveland. You know I love you. I'm visiting you at some point. You know I do. But this is coming from somebody who's a Cavs fan who can tell you all this talk about the decision, and yet it raised over, what, $1 million to $2 million for the Boys and Girls Club of America? Such a terrible thing. But wow, this guy raised millions of dollars for the Boys and Girls Club. LeBron's legacy is such a complicated one because people choose to hate, people choose to not acknowledge the greatness, and the rules change for LeBron. Example, people suddenly feel as if LeBron's a snitch. Okay, whatever makes you feel better. All I know is this. You don't let LeBron force a game seven. Snitch on that. Tell on that. Kick that. You don't force LeBron to make a game seven happen, which he did. And the best part about it is, again, he is playing with house money. He doesn't have nothing to lose. For what? LeBron got another finals under his belt where, once again, he did his damn thing, but the circumstances were out of his control. Seriously. The only way you could snap on LeBron was if Cleveland got swept, Cleveland got beaten five, or LeBron has a piss-poor game seven. But you know why that could be excused? Because LeBron was carrying his team. You know what they're going to say. LeBron took his game to another level, so he was tired. You know what they're going to say, haters. So I really don't see the point of this. I think I have a couple more topics to discuss. For one, let me just talk about Steph Curry and his ejection. For one, he's not getting suspended, so stop it. And two, I wouldn't want him to get suspended. He better play game seven. We somehow win this chip, I want it to happen with him on the court. He's not getting suspended. Plus, the league knows. Like, come on, man. Steph's probably beyond a first-time offender. Steph is such a clean player in terms of his record. They wouldn't even look at him as a first-time offender. They'll just look at him like, oh, what happened? Like, why are we so upset? You know what I'm saying? Like, they should even do a ref report and be like, yes, those refs were, you know, kind of crazy with the calls. We apologize to Mr. Curry. We should. But again, though, it's always about the fact that, you know, it happens. Like I said yesterday, I tweeted it yesterday, even men of God snap and lose their cool. But Steph will be all right. But I think Steph for game seven, Steph can't get caught up in trying to go toe-for-toe with Kyrie or toe-for-toe with LeBron. Steph has to keep his cool at the end of the day. That's what it's all about. Steph has to keep his cool. Steph has to relax. He has to chill. That's exactly what he has to do. He has to chill. Like, don't force anything. I think for Golden State, they have to go back to trusting one another. Or if not trusting one another, trusting their execution. Because that was really what made them them, was the fact that you knew this team trust and believe in what they were running. Last couple games, you don't see that. Forcing extra shots, forcing extra passes. They don't trust and what they're doing. They have to get back to that if they want to give themselves a better chance. What was the final thing I wanted to talk about? Aisha Curry, Steph's wife. Look, let me say, I respect Aisha a lot. Awesome wife, awesome mother. I mean, heck, if I meet a girl that's like Aisha Curry, then I'm one lucky bastard. I will definitely say that. Steph got himself a great one. But Aisha, this hasn't been the best week for you on Twitter, boo-boo. This has not been the best week for you. You need to put the phone down. I know this may sound sexist for what I'm about to say or whatever, but it's not because she is a cook. She's a chef. That's what she does. But, hey, I think you're going to need to spend some more time in the kitchen. Put the phone down. Give it to Riley. And go cook up some recipes, maybe for some humble pie, for real. Because it's just the truth. Her tweets, as of late, have been god-awful. They're not what you want to see and hear from, I'm not even going to describe her as just an NBA wife, but from a public figure like Aisha Curry. You just don't. Aisha, and in case you don't know, Aisha Curry yesterday tweeted and probably in a very upset manner that basically the NBA is rigged. She tweeted that. I'm looking for the tweet right now. Hold up. I got it. I've lost all respect. Sorry. This is absolutely rigged for money or ratings. I'm not sure which. I won't be silent. Just saw it live. Sorry. This thing ended up getting retweeted probably, what, tens of thousands of times? That's how much it got retweeted, tens of thousands of times. Then she deleted it. That makes it very worse. And two, what really bothered me last night, and I'm sorry that it happened to her, if it is the case, explain her reasoning for that tweet and why she was mad. She goes on to tweet about how, I don't know whether it was Steph's dad or her dad-in-law was racially profiled and, you know, almost arrested. Look, it sucks that that happened. It really is. Sucks that that happened. But at the same time, Aisha, you have to know timing. And to tweet that after you tweeted what you just said about the league being rigged makes it look as if you're trying to use that as an excuse for your ignorant tweet. That's all I'm saying. It's just a terrible, terrible look. And then, not only that, keep on tweeting and trying to make it seem as if you're the victim. Aisha, this is Twitter, boo-boo. This is the internet. You know how the game goes. Right or wrong, you know people gonna say what they gonna say. Right or wrong. Stop complaining about the freaking internet. You tweet last week about the high road, subtweeting LeBron, you dissing LeBron about the high road, then after that, give yourself a corny nickname like, oh, Young Ish from time to time used to talk her stuff. Back in the kitchen, swear to God, that's what she tweeted. Look it up. I swear to God, it was last Saturday. And then right after, you want to go, I can't believe people want to come for me and my family. Look, it's messed up. I agree. But like I said before, you know how the game goes. If you can't take the heat, leave the kitchen. Seriously, like, don't tweet things that you know is open for response and then be surprised when you get that response you were expecting. Don't be surprised. I'm okay that we lost. I'm reading her other tweet. I'm okay that we lost. I just can't take people coming at my family for absolutely no reason. Something I don't understand or stand for. You don't have to stand for it. But you damn sure got to understand it. You got to accept it. It's just what happens on the internet. It sucks. If you don't like it, you can either be very aggressive with the block button or not be on Twitter. But still, the timing by her made it as if you was just looking for excuses, that you just looking for a way to get out this hole that you dug yourself in, and you're trying to get sympathy. You're not getting no sympathy from me. I still respect Aisha. Great wife, great mother. She's a great cook. She's an awesome public figure. She's doing her thing. It's awesome when you see a chick, even when her partner, male or female, is doing their thing and they're able to establish their own life. But again, you chose to be this public figure. You know who didn't choose to be a public figure and is living just fine? Savannah James. Savannah, LeBron's wife. She's doing pretty fine. You got to know which one you want, and you got to understand the circumstances there and everything that comes with it. That's all I got to say. But other than that, that's the latest episode of the Snatchback. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed Game 7. I certainly will, but I'm going into it cool, calm, and collective like I've been all finals because you never know what's going to happen. But just know, the Cavs are playing with house money, and they couldn't be in a better situation. I'm ready for whatever. I am. I'm ready for what could be just one heck of a Game 7, and let's see what happens. Of course, follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk, A-R-D-E-N, Sports Talk. And please, read my Slam articles. Go to slamonline.com and search my name, Arden Franklin. You heard that? Go to slamonline.com and search my name, Arden Franklin. Franklin ending and L-Y-N. You will see my two pieces in the last few weeks on their site. Enjoy Game 7. Happy Father's Day once again to you and yours or anybody that's been a father figure in your life. And, hey, let's see what happens. Peace.